The reading is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in whom we live and move and have our being. Amen. When I was a small boy, my two grandfathers had already died before I was born, so I had no granddads. I had two wonderful grandmothers, but no grandfathers. And I was a bit annoyed with them for leaving before I arrived. I wanted a granddad. But there were a group of old men that used to sit on the bench just down the road from our house at the corner. And they were like four or five surrogate granddads. I used to go and join them as they sat on the bench. I would sit amongst them. It must have looked a little incongruous, these white-haired old gentlemen and this chubby little boy perched among them. And there they were, leaning on their sticks, puffing on their pipes and reminiscing. And I looked up to them and listened to them. I only remember one conversation between two of the old men. One said to the other, Did you fight in the last lot then, the Second World War? And he said, yes, I did. Actually, I fought in both. In both, he said. When the First World War broke out, I was just old enough to get in and to respond to the enlisting and to fight in the First War. And then when the Second World War broke out, I was still young enough to begin again and fight again in the Second World War. As a little boy, I thought, how amazing is that? What a wonderful thing to be able to fight in two world wars. I hadn't a clue. I was only a little boy. I reflected on it because the memory of the conversation stuck in my mind. I reflected on it as I got older and thought, wow, imagine what an accident of birth to be born at a point in a century, the opening of the 20th century, where you are called upon to fight in two major conflicts, world wars. And the remarkable thing was that he came through both. He survived them both. And there, as an old man, leaning on his stick and puffing on his pipe, had so many memories, reminiscences, some of them desperately sad and difficult, as he looked back and remembered friends and colleagues and companions that lost their lives. Many did not come back, countless numbers who made the ultimate sacrifice for us. For greater love has no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. So do the names A. Barrett and J. Barrett mean anything to you this morning? A. and J. Barrett? Nobody in church this morning says, yeah, that really does resonate with me. It's possible, but I guess unlikely. They are names that appear on our war memorial in the churchyard. I just picked them up randomly. It suggests to me that they were brothers, A and J Barrett. I don't know what their first names were. Maybe Arthur and Joseph, we'll call them. Arthur and Joseph Barrett. Could have been. They were good, strong names at the beginning of the 20th century the boys would be called by. The thing about those two names is that they were real people, not just names on a war memorial. And sometimes when we lose our connection with the past, we lose the sense of reality that these were people who paid the ultimate price for our safety and security, with a vision to secure peace for a world in conflict, to bring change and hope into devastation and loss. And they gave their lives to do that. I just imagined them playing in the village streets here. Not much traffic around at the turn of the 20th century. They may well have kicked a ball in the streets or played an impromptu game of cricket. Maybe Mum's voice could be heard shouting them in for tea. It was a different world, a different time. But real people who gave their lives went off to war and fought. And I just imagine maybe one Sunday when the rector of the time stood up to announce that the Barrett brothers had been killed, and sending a message of condolence to broken-hearted parents. Now that's all imagination, but the reality is that it is real. It is based in fact. These are the things that happened. And over again, villagers like this one heard the sad and tragic news of the death of another loved one, another son, more parents grieving and hurting and weeping because of the loss of their children. Real people who made the real sacrifice, who gave their lives to secure peace and to bring about a better world. We owe it to them to remember and to maintain our connection with the past. For greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Christoph mentioned the service that we had on the 13th of July this year, the service of commemoration, the 100th anniversary of the return of the 16th Battalion Church Lads Brigade, Royal King's Royal Rifles Corps. It was a remarkable service and a wonderful day. People came from all over the country from Church Lads Brigades. At the beginning of the First World War, that's where the recruiting arm of the services went to, first of all. The Church Lads Brigade was enormous, a big Anglican organization of young people, and they recruited there because those young people, those young men, already knew about discipline. Already, it was a kind of militaristic organization that prided itself in its discipline, but was also unashamedly Christian. And they came here to Denham to train. Thousands and thousands and thousands of them trained. And this was their church. This is where they paraded week by week, coming to church on a Sunday. And they learned to love the place, and the place learned to love them as well. The accounts of the time suggest that the village really, really enjoyed having these young men amongst them, which was unusual, because often villages that had training centres where men were trained objected because of the antisocial behaviour of some young men, because of the drunkenness and so on. But none of that in this village, because these were Christian young men who behaved accordingly, and they were warmly welcomed, and the village enjoyed having them around, which was a wonderful testimony to the character of the Church Lads Brigade. And so it was an awesome celebration. And the thing that I remember was there in the vestibule, there were photographs of these young men at the time, carefree in their laughter and in their enjoyment of life, shortly to go to the front, and so many of them, so very many of them, to lose their lives. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. This resonates with the gospel, because at the very heart of the gospel is sacrifice. There is a cross at the heart, at the very center of our faith. And we can say with St. Paul in Galatians 2:20, as he looks up, as it were, at the cross and sees the suffering of our Savior Jesus, he says, "The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And here too, in our reflecting upon sacrifice, we remember the sacrifice that God made in the giving of his Son, in the outpouring of his love to secure our salvation, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, reconciled to God through the cross. There's a story, a true story, of a captain in the trenches who saw his sergeant in trouble. He was out in no man's land fulfilling a mission, and he had been wounded. The captain leapt out of the trench, went over to the sergeant, hoisted him up on his back, took him back to the trench, handed him over to the men that were already there. And just in that moment, a single bullet from a sniper's rifle hit the captain and he died. He died in the very act of saving another life. He died saving the sergeant, handed him over, and he recovered from his wounds. And at the end of the war, the captain's parents gave a dinner of celebration, a dinner to honour the memory of their son, and invited all his colleagues to come. And the guest of honour was the sergeant whose life he had saved. Well, everyone was gathered. The sergeant was the last to arrive, and he was the worse for drink when he did arrive. He was quite drunk, staggered into the place, ignore the parents of the man who had saved his life, behaved so abominably, it was embarrassing. At the end of the evening, the captain's parents watched him go down the street, staggering off down the street, and one turned to the other and said, "To think that our son gave his life for him, gave his life to save him." And they were close to tears, deeply upset. And the story made me reflect upon the thought, does God ever look at humanity in all our chaos and confusion, in all our bewilderment and lack of wisdom, all our folly? Does he ever look at humanity and think, "To think that I gave my son for them, to redeem them, to save them, to give them peace and forgiveness and hope"? Do you know what? The good news of the gospel is that God has no regrets in the giving of himself. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. He loves unconditionally. He loves continually and reaches out in love to a broken world. That is the heart of the gospel. At its heart is sacrifice, the giving of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we reflect upon that and remember that today on this day of remembrance. Greater love has no man than this, than a man laid down his life for his friends. And St. Paul adds the thought that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us so that we can come back to the heart of God, to the fold and welcome of God's loving care. May we find our way to that place today as we remember with thankfulness, with a deep sense of thankfulness, our connection with the past and those real people who made the real and great sacrifice for us. May we never lose that sense of appreciation, and may it be reflected in our response to the Prince of Peace himself. Amen.